Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Are you a friend of someone who's living with an eating disorder? Or are you someone who yourself lives with an eating disorder? How do you go about getting help for the person you love or getting help for yourself? How do you know whether you've got an eating disorder or not? Could you have one and not be diagnosed? I'm going to talk to Jacqueline Campion, who's the host of a podcast called Calling It Out, and is also a therapist and also herself in recovery from eating disorders. Although, you don't want us to use the term eating disorder anymore, Jacqueline. You want us to change the word to eating distress. And that's where I'd like to start. Good morning.
Good morning, PJ. Thank you so much for having me on the show and giving us the opportunity to shed some light and spread some understanding. So I suppose myself, I'm fully recovered and fully free from eating distress, as well as working as a recovery coach at Merino Therapy Centre. It's not that we would say we don't want you to use the term eating disorder, but I mean, the last 30 years, Merino Therapy Centre has been specialising in working with people to free themselves. So why we use the term eating distress more than eating disorder is that we've never worked with anybody who is disordered. You know, if anyone is experiencing distress around their body or around food, the self-esteem and the self-confidence is not going to just be low. It's going to be in the minus. So it's not that someone is disordered, but there is a distress that's eating the person. And really, a lot of the time, as I said, another way that we'd refer to is that ultimately it's like a not good enough syndrome. Unfortunately, a lot of the time with eating distress or eating disorders, as people are maybe more familiar with as the term, we get so focused on the food part of it and we think that that's the problem, that we can actually be missing really what's going on, because the food and the body and the behaviours that are taken out on the food and the body, they're not the problem, but they're the solution to an underlying issue. So we wouldn't just solely focus on the behaviour, but we're getting curious about the thinking and the feeling and that person's relationship with themselves. It isn't a life sentence. It doesn't have to be. You can be fully recovered and fully free. And if there was one thing that your listeners took from today, you know, we'd be making moves and we'd be making shifts in the bigger picture.
You also point out that eating disorder is from the DSM, which is a diagnostic book, the International Book of Diagnostics, to give it its commonplace term. And you reckon it's too medicalized. Like, you know, distress, we all suffer distress in our lives, and we all know that it's triggered by something. So do you believe, Jacqueline, or I'm picking up right here because listening to a couple of episodes of your podcast, let's call it, eating distress is triggered by something. It didn't just happen. There's an underlying cause. Do you want us to take, is that a learning you want us to take?
That we would approach it a case of like, when you're looking at kind of healing yourself from eating distress, what we've experienced over the last 30 years of working with it is that asking why is like digging at the roots of a plant that isn't growing how you want it to. And when you're digging at the roots of a plant that isn't growing how you expect it to, it can be really great for the researcher and you can kind of come to a hypothesis eventually. But ultimately for the person who is, it's not great for the plant ultimately. So we wouldn't be so much asking why. So with eating distress, it is formed on a subconscious level. There's a school of opinion that would refer to it that it is like a cancer of the mind. The mind is colonized by self-limiting and what we would call very conditioned beliefs and thoughts. So there's a lot of like, I can't, I'm not good enough. The language of someone suffering from eating distress is going to be like a prison warden. It is like you're in a prison. It's like, can't, have to, should, need to. So we wouldn't necessarily say that it's triggered by something or one thing, but it's often just even a reaction to our environment. It can be a whole kind of list of different things. It's a multifaceted issue. So there can be, what we do know, and we have still so much to learn about eating distress, but what we do know is that most people, if not everyone, experiencing eating distress, and everyone that I've worked with over the last 12 years experiencing eating distress, are highly and super sensitive. They're like satellites. So they're absorbing things on a much deeper level, and it's getting in without a filter. So even listening to the news or what's been happening in the last 2 years, they're absorbing it on a much deeper level. And that kind of, it can create a lot of uncomfortable feelings. It can create a lot of, as I said, the conditioned thinking, can't, have to, should, need to, I'm not good enough, or I'll be good enough when. And then all that thought, every thought that we have creates a different chemical reaction happening in the body. Yeah. So we want to be learning the language of freedom and more what we can do about it. So I wouldn't say it's a little bit more complex and it's just triggered by one thing. And we're very much so, when you have self-harming behaviors, okay, this is where we are. What can we do about it? Because the full freedom is possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about getting out of this mess rather than what has got us into it, as it were. In my own personal circle, one individual whom I know well had been to rehab for alcohol abuse quite a number of times. But the penny finally dropped when one of their therapists said, actually, I think your problem isn't alcohol at all. I think your problem is, and what you would now call eating distress. And a penny dropped. And that person has neither touched a drink or been anywhere like it, near a drink, since. And their life is back on track big time because they went and got treatment for the right thing.
Wow. And that's incredible, you know, and it's so lovely to even hear that, because that's why it's not just we have enough awareness at this stage. It's actually understanding that we need, and because it's quite a complex issue, we're often dealing with people who are not just the behaviors. A lot of the time it's even hidden around drugs, alcohol, especially with men as well. There can be so much shame around actually saying, okay, it's eating distress. It can sometimes be more comfortable to say this is depression, or this is alcohol, or this is drug dependency. And that's exactly it about, even the more we're understanding that there's a stress, the distress that's eating the person, that actually when you go, there is a place for diagnostics. I will say that, you know, it's just about not attaching to the diagnosis too much and just being wary that, is my identity wrapped up in my diagnosis? You know, so that's why we wouldn't use the language of like, I'm anorexic, or I'm a binger, or I'm an exercise addict, or I'm a bulimic. It's actually like, okay, I'm Jacqueline who is experiencing a distress, you know, as opposed to I am disordered, because as I said, I've not met anybody yet that I've been working with that is disordered. But it's so important, like you said, looking more at the thinking and the feeling, and not getting too focused on the behaviors, on the weight, on the size. Weight is not recovery. And so many of us are not getting these diagnoses because we don't, this is one of the most challenging things with eating distress, is that many of us, because we don't feel good enough, we don't feel sick enough, we don't feel worthy of the support. We feel like somebody else would be better taking up that time and that resource. So it's actually so challenging to say, like, okay, I actually don't feel like I'm sick enough to go to get the help. So it's just so important that if you are relating to a lot of not good enough in your thinking, not too much kind of focusing on, am I sick enough? Kind of going, okay, well, I'm actually finding things challenging. I deserve support and I deserve help. You know, we know that you're good enough and you're worthy because you were born, you know, so it just gets conditioned as we go through in our life sometimes about what is good enough.
There's an inner voice, isn't there, sometimes too, Jacqueline, that is telling you, oh no, oh God, no, no one's interested in your problems. Get on with yourself. That little voice, totally. This horrible little voice.
Absolutely. And I would refer to that voice, and I personally refer to it as like, it's like a dictator in your mind. Because as I said, it's like your subconscious mind. You're not even aware of it. Like, you're like, you know, the last, I myself in the last 12 years have been working with highly, highly intelligent and creative people, and the behaviors they would be so ashamed to even share. And my, from my own personal journey as well, you know, I wouldn't be kind of shouting from the rooftops what I used to get up to in terms of, you know, behaviors and things like that. But it's like a terrorism. Terrorism is a high intelligence hijacked by fear. So when you're feeling unsafe, when you're feeling kind of insecure, it's that kind of the dictator. It's like a toxic relationship within the mind. So you, there's like an abuser in the mind. And it's just about even navigating. I would often say, like, I kind of bring it down to like awareness, acceptance, and action. So even to bring awareness to that regime in the mind, that's quite a courageous and brave thing to do, because it can be quite scary. You know, dictators are only so powerful because of their followers. So if you want to take down a regime, we're educating the people. And that's why when you're working with people eating distress, you're teaching them about even, you know, their own values. For so long, there's such a gray area. You think you're the disorder. You think you're the ED. You think you're behaving. Behaviors. You're not your thoughts. You're not your behaviors. You're the awareness and the observer. You know, who am I? You know, who is Jacqueline? Who is PJ? What are my values? What's important to me? Because there's the conditioned values and there's those fear-based values of how we should be living. What does success, especially in Western society, what we should be doing? And you look at our society at the moment, it's very challenging for, you know, current generations to tick the box. You know, we can't, it's, you know, finding challenging with jobs or getting housing or getting a home. So we're getting a message of saying, I must be doing something wrong here because I'm failing. I should be doing X, Y, and Z. So it's bringing awareness to all that conditioning.
And that also fuels the fire, doesn't it? It fuels the problem. Jacqueline, let me take a commercial break, if you wouldn't mind. And I want to talk a little bit about the people that you're seeing in your clinics and in treatment at the moment and the changes that have come about in the last couple of years. I'm talking to Jacqueline Campion, who is an eating disorders therapist or eating distress therapist and herself recovered from eating distress. She's based at the Marino Therapy Centre. I want to speak to you about the things that you're seeing, and maybe particularly with the pandemic in mind. I think a huge increase in young people now coming forward in trouble and needing help.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a couple of different sides to what we're seeing. And I suppose the first thing that stands out is definitely, you know, the level of fear and uncertainty was definitely a catalyst. Now, it didn't cause, I wouldn't say it has enough power to cause an eating distress. We've definitely seen much younger people with much more aggravated behaviours very quickly. So that's definitely one thing that we've seen, which is such a scary place to be. And one thing I'd say, it's one thing as someone, as personal experiences, but to watch somebody experience that as a parent, and unfortunately the automatic thing as a parent that we often see is that they're often blaming themselves. So we've seen a huge aggravation in terms of, okay, younger people, but which sounds awful in one way, but as someone who started their recovery, you know, in their kind of early teenage years, it's something actually that I'm quite grateful in the long run. The other side that we've definitely seen as well is that people with emotional overeating, so that DSM-5 diagnostic manual that you spoke about earlier on, that would often label behavior. So for example, it's in as binge eating. We would use the term emotional overeating because, you know, labeling someone as a binge or binge eating, it doesn't sit with everybody, but everybody's kind of different. That language might suit some people. But the emotional overeating, that's one of the behaviors that often is carrying the most shame and is often not taken seriously. Yeah. That we often hear about the terminology around anorexia or bulimia. But really the kind of exercise addiction as well is a huge issue, but it's often celebrated in our society. So it can be quite challenging to seek help. But then with emotional overeating, we've definitely seen more people come forward, which again sounds quite negative. But from our experience, it's wonderful to see people actually say, do you know what, this is enough now. And that's one thing about, in one way, yes, we've seen a huge influx or a huge increase in inquiries and working with people. But it's still people even accessing the services. Yeah. So we have seen some people throughout the lockdown really say, do you know what, it's time now. People kind of had a moment to sit and reflect a little bit and say, right, it's time to actually look at healing the relationship with myself. Because ultimately, our relationship with food and the body is ultimately very much so just the relationship with ourselves. You know, it's not the problem, but it's a solution to something else. So we definitely have seen shifts, but I've seen people do incredible things over the last 2 years and kind of really kind of going, right, it's time now to focus on the full freedom.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The emotional eating side of it, and I suppose in lockdown, and we spoke to people here on the program who were worried about that during lockdown. The fact that they're coming forward and putting out the hand to seek help, that surely, Jacqueline, can only be seen as a positive before the bully, as you call it, gets control.
Yeah, totally. Because you think about even how much, like when we get an email or a phone call or I get a message from somebody, there is no underestimating how long that has taken or how long someone is waiting to make that contact. The level of courage and shame that that takes and the bravery, shame can't live in the spoken word. And unfortunately, we live in a society that carries a lot of weight, stigma, and it can be often seen as just kind of like, you know, with in terms of even emotional overeating, eat less, move more. And there's a huge pressure and there's a lot of, as I said, there's a lot of stigma in some of our messaging and some of our programs. And it's
actually jumping across you there, the eat less, move more thing. I mean, that I've always said, God, if it was only that simple.
Absolutely. And it's the same with dieting. You know, there's great movements happening, but if there was one diet out there that was as effective as it claims to be in its marketing campaign, then surely everybody would have been doing it years ago. Yeah. Like, it's like the fashion industry, the trends change and we're making, it's a multi-billion industry that makes a lot of profit, mostly on people's insecurities and not feeling good enough. So it's so important that people understand you are not your behaviors. If you're noticing that there are maybe destructive behaviors or you're giving the body more or less of what it needs, or you feel pressure to move, or you're even the opposite side where you're sometimes there's such pressure to actually exercise. As I said, that's quite challenging to actually work with, or not work with, but actually for people to come forward because it's so celebrated. But if you understand you're not your behaviors, then we can actually start get learning more about what recovery is about. Recovery, as I said, it's not about just stopping the, you know, these behaviors around food. The recovery and the freedom is really, as I said, it's about learning who we are, learning how to live life. You know, what does freedom look like for me? What if there was no rules, and what are my expectations of myself? Because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We don't often even realize it. We get so much messaging that, like, what we should be doing, work, personal life, relationships, body, bettering ourselves, society. There's so much we've never had so many self-help books. But what I can see with working with people is that this, like, to be honest with you, when I started the Calling It Out podcast, I said, Janie, do we need another podcast? But look, if it's probably more for me than anybody else, it was a platform where I can say, like, look, this is what recovery and freedom is, from my experience personally and professionally. But there's so many podcasts. But what about even the implementation? If you're reading something, if you're listening to something, and there's so much information, and there's so many free resources as well, how could I apply that? Two questions every time you're listening or reading something. What did I learn? Even if someone's listening to this conversation today, what did I take from that conversation with PJ today? And how could I apply it to where I am? Keep it simple. The bully in your head and the conditioned thinking and the self-limiting beliefs is very chaotic and very kind of complicated thinking. Freedom and recovery is about even learning to keep it simple, learning to trust ourselves, learning to nourish with our body. Our body is so intelligent. It needs to be having every 2,000 to 3,000 chemical reactions every single day. Over 30, you know, trillion cells in our body, and all they care about is you. But we have Fitbits and we're counting calories. Imagine you were in a relationship and you were checking how your partner was. So you looked at your watch or your iPhone or your Android. We've lost them how to communicate, and that body mind connection is something that we work with, the relationship with our body. It's like couples counseling with the body, and it can be a bit awkward and it can be a little bit uncomfortable, but it gets easier. That's so important. Whatever
I had a friend whose almost catchphrase in life was, I know my body very well, it'll tell me when something's wrong and I'll do something about it. And I thought, there's a person who's really, really grounded. It's good to see more people coming forward though, isn't it, Jacqueline?
I absolutely think so. As I said, it sounds like a lot of the time the media can spin that and say, but I actually think it's wonderful. I've seen so much courage and bravery and people really stepping up to say it's time now. Because the last 2 years, people said, do you know what, a lot of the people, even through lockdowns, realised that there's not much difference in my life. Because when you are actually in a toxic relationship like that with your mind, with the body, with food, your life is very small. And the smaller our life, the bigger we feel. And we feel, when I talk about bigger, I'm talking about we feel heavier, and then we get all this unhelpful messages, and we have, you know, taxpayers kind of campaign saying, like, it wasn't long ago where they were giving out free measuring tapes in pharmacies, kind of saying, make sure you're not this. The fear even that we're putting in people, and the shame of saying, make sure that there's, you know, the task force and obesity. People were terrified to actually, you know, they needed to be counting everything. So it is so wonderful to see people say, do you know what, there's something up here and I can go and I can get the help. And make sure that it's about not learning to live with it, but whoever you're contacting with to work with, because it's very much working with people, not like, you know, sitting on a throne telling someone what to do all the time. It's mentoring and it's coaching and it's working with the person. But
can I venture to ask you what you think about programs like Operation Transformation, for example?
Absolutely. I mean, I think very little of them, you know, and in one way, I think a lot about them. To put it very simply, we got to get very curious about the messaging. And unfortunately, what's happening now is that there's a huge campaign in End Diet Culture Ireland and Intuitive Eating Ireland. They're making huge movements to actually kind of call out what problematic messaging is there. But unfortunately, now it makes a lot of money. There's only just today I saw a clip actually of the encouragement of weighing chocolate before we're eating it. These are actually very unhelpful behaviors. We are encouraging people to monitor, to count, and to actually weigh themselves, and then we grade one another and tell each other how well we're doing. From my personal experiences, from the beginning of the airing of that show and when they were bringing it into schools, and I have many clients that they were in class and was being brought in, I have not seen that program or the messages that it promotes to be helpful long term. Because the sole focus on the weight loss is problematic in so many areas. And we want to get curious about the messages that we're getting. Are we better at a certain size? Weight is not health. Your health is in your blood tests. The science will tell us that. Yes. And that's so important to actually check the blood test. So from my experiences with working with people, even professionally, you know, it's incredibly problematic on so many different levels. Okay. It's a reflection on society as well, because I don't think it would continue to be aired if people weren't watching it. But it is about educating viewers to say, does this make me feel heavy or light? And are there actually tools? It's dieting. It's glorified dieting. It's glorified restriction. Yeah. And that's encouraging people not to nourish with their body or trust their bodies. It's learning to trust our bodies, not other people and gadgets.
Let me come back briefly before we finish, Jacqueline, to, and I must say, I love your use of the word the bully, okay? And in your podcast episodes, I heard you use it. I have a reason for it. I have spoken over the years with people who have chronic depression in their lives, emotional distress, and they talk about a black dog, or as a friend of mine does, talks about the number 9 bus. And the number 9 bus is always running through their lives. And it's a question of, here's an analogy. They hear it coming and they can take action to get out of the way. But sometimes they don't hear it coming and it flattens them. The dog, they can hear growling. And when they hear the dog growling, they know what to do. The bully, bullies start off very quiet and very subtle. So you can you teach yourself to hear the bully and identify the bully?
Absolutely. And the way, so I would refer to even the bully as like the condition. Okay. So it's like the conditioned voices, those conditioned beliefs. And it's, as I said, I like to keep it down to kind of awareness, acceptance, action, bringing awareness to the thinking, recognizing how is my self-talk, how is my language, exactly like you said, actually noticing these things. And ultimately, you know, thoughts are like people, you know, someone who I quite admire, Owen McCabe, had said this, I trained with him before, and he said, thoughts are like people. If you ignore them for long enough, they go away. Mm-hmm. So conditioned thinking and bully-like thoughts, it's like someone who's at a party who's really annoying you and irritating you. You keep talking about how annoying and irritating they are, but it's actually like shifting the focus. What else could I focus on? You know, actually sitting down and writing, what do I actually like about myself? What do I value about myself? You know, simple things like even compliment notebooks. We're very good at actually, we could be remembering insults back from 2001, but trying to think of even a compliment or something, you know, pleasant that someone has shared with you in that day, because the brain isn't even trained to do that. So there's so many simple ways. And exactly like you said, the black dog, and it's about melting the condition, educating ourselves who we are, which is ultimately who we aren't. Separate the condition from the person, yeah, and building up that person with that strength and resilience so they can actually have the courage to say, do you know what? I'm divorcing this toxic relationship. I'm not listening to you anymore. Yeah, I can hear what you're saying, but I'm not listening.
But I'm not part of this conversation. Before I let you go, Jacqueline, here we go. Just listening to Jacqueline on with PJ Coogan, I've spent many years attending therapists in the Merino Therapy Centre, travelling by train from Cork every week to get help. It really helped me, and I have a huge awareness of the voice of the eating disorder. Unfortunately, I relapsed 18 months ago. That voice is very strong, but I'm working on it. Mm. The founder of the centre, Marie Campion, is an amazing lady and a great advocate for eating distress. Keep up the amazing work. So you're helping people. That person's in a bit of a difficult spot at the moment, but would have every confidence of getting back on the horse, as it were. Jacqueline, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. You have an Instagram, as well as the podcast, which is calling it out. You have an Instagram too.
Yeah, so the Instagram page is at Merino TC. We're holding groups every week, every Tuesday. They're still online. You don't have to turn your camera on or share. You could just come along and learn from other people who are recovering. The podcast is there. There's 3 seasons of how you could actually be healing and freeing yourself from eating distress. Wherever you get your podcast, calling it out, there is hope. There's always a solution, and you're definitely worthy of the support. So just keeping that in mind.
We'll spend a bit longer with you than we had intended to, but well worth the time. Thank you so much. That's Jacqueline Campion from Merino Therapy Centre.
Cork's 96 FM.